It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst is coaching his son's lacrosse team or something today, so he won't be with us. But Dan Berger is here, of course, and Tom Simoneau is presenting Oded Shakhed, our friend from Longboard. We haven't seen him in a while. Pop it, Oded! Yeah.
There we go.
Let the festivities begin.
Yeah. So
timing is everything.
Get closer to that mic, sir, please. And tell us what you're pouring there.
We are pouring Longboard's Vineyards Z Brut. The letter Z stands for zero, or zero dosage. As you know, sparkling wine, when we disgorge them, we usually add a little bit of dosage, which is usually made out of cane sugar and reserve wines, to kind of balance the wine. This wine is made specifically so it is bone dry. There is absolutely no dosage added to it. And somehow our friend Tom Simoneau liked that wine, so that's why I guess we're tasting it today.
It was our sparkling wine of the year this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, Brut Zero. So you've tasted this, Jackson. You loved it. Remember the last time we had it?
Yeah. No, so Method Champenois.
He's got it.
Isn't
he's got it.
Got it.
Don't we have to call it sparkling wine, or because the grapes came from France? Explain all that.
Well, Champagne is a region in France, and we all have a lot of respect for them. Method Champenois just denotes the fact that we are following the traditional method that was definitely developed there,
okay.
Although that can be debated too. Saumur had sparkling wines before. But definitely it's a region that developed a tremendous wine. If you ask me, that is a wine that wine lovers eventually go to because it can be as complex as any other big wine, but it's also got elegance and it's got layers and layers of complexity. But you have to kind of tune things down a little bit. This particular one is again made in very very tiny quantities because I don't think most people can take a wine that it's got a sparkling wine with Methode Champenois aged 4 years on the yeast that has zero sugar in it. I love it. I think that that's the way to drink Methode Champenois.
Yeah, you know, as I always
you
say,
you almost guess French, wouldn't you say, Dan?
It's like Krug.
Yeah.
It's the way Krug is made, with a little bit of oak contact, broad and rich in the mid-palate, but crisp in the finish. So it's really got
nice
all of the pieces that you need.
A little yeasty there.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. And you use a kind of a technique of blending from various years out of a couple of barrels. Tell people
correct.
About that.
So mostly we're used to wines in here that are vintage dated. In sparkling wine, you can make a wine, and actually not in sparkling wine, but in sparkling wine, you can make a wine that is, people call it non-vintage. I call mine multi-vintage.
Multi. Mm-hmm.
And what I do is about 15% of this wine comes from a little lot that I have at the winery, where every year I draw some of that lot to blend into the sparkling wine, and then I add fresh, mostly Chardonnay from that year, to freshen up that lot. It's almost like a Solera system that they
right.
do.
So how far back? How far back does that go?
2010. So
wow.
It's actually as wine a little bit back, all the way back to
18 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
How
about that, Jackson?
Yeah, that's a thing. That's something going on there. As I always say, you know, I'm not a huge sparkling wine guy, but I remember when Tom we tasted this and it was his sparkling
Sparkler
wine of the year.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I think the fact that it has no dosage allows people to actually get a little bit of what the real character of the yeast autolysis. Autolysis is the breakdown of yeast, and sugar usually covers that. It's a very, very fleeting, very almost can be just described as popcorn a little bit, a little toasty almonds, and that when you add sugar. And there's nothing wrong with adding sugar.
It disguises it a little bit.
Just like in cooking, sugar will also, you know, kind of bring things together, even out.
Mm-hmm.
What's the price point on this, I got to ask?
This one, because it's so limited and it takes so long to make, it takes about 5.5 years to make, retails for $75. Unless you're a wine club member, you can get it for a little cheaper. But then we have the...
Well, I like this better than Dom Perignon or the other one that's so expensive. This is,
well, thank
this
you.
Is better.
Or Cristal.
Cristal.
Yeah, Cristal.
Wow.
Not a lot of value in those wines. But if you want to go over to Healdsburg and see Odette, you can get this little beauty for $75.
Odette, talk about your history. Now, you were born in Israel, and you're a rocker and a surfer. You've surfed four continents.
I've surfed four continents, and the guest you had previously made me jealous, number one, of their accent, which is way nicer than an Israeli accent.
New Zealand accents are the best, man.
And I have not surfed New Zealand yet, so that's one of the holes in my surfing repertoire.
Okay, first off, Israel, you're growing up. How did you become a surfer?
I grew up about 100 yards from the beach. My mom said she took me to the ocean first time when I was 2 months old. So grew up on the beach, and, you know, as a kid, we took, you know, like air mattresses and little pieces of, foam, whatever we could to just catch waves. And then in 1959, actually, a California guy, surfer, Doc Paskowitz, brought three surfboards and gave them to the Israeli lifeguards in Tel Aviv. So we saw a few people surfing. There were big, huge logs, what we call, big... And I grew up in a little beach town north of Tel Aviv, Herzliya, and so we started by trying to make our own, and then I got my first surfboard brought from the U.S., and people had no idea what that was, but then it took off really like a fire.
Your Israeli beach boy here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Surfer boy.
So how did you wind up getting so into wine?
Well, after my military service, I always thought I was going to go study architecture. But once school was about to start, we have 3 years of mandatory military service in Israel.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to go to college. I was building surfboards for a living, working in one of the two surfboard companies at the time in Israel, living on the beach. And like every surf bum, work 9 months out of the year and go surf for 3 months every year. And we would go to where the big waves and better waves were, which is the Atlantic coast of Europe. So we'd go to Biarritz, Sosegor, Bordeaux coast, northern Spain, Portugal. And you can't go be there for 3 months at a time and not fall in love with wine, or at least drink wine. It was actually cheaper than finding good water, drinkable water. So,
wow.
Because you never know about water, which is kind of how the Romans, right, got around. They gave their soldiers water, because if you added wine to the water, you wouldn't get sick from the
water.
From the water. Yeah, that's how.
That's why I drink wine, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, totally, man.
Exactly.
Water? No, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
What do you get in that water?
Yeah, in the Herzliya Rosa, you said Fountain Grove had a water problem?
Yeah, major.
I could drink wine. It's 90% water.
Yeah, well, that's...
Here we go. Next time you have the water guy on, Jackson.
When you rebuild your home in Fountain Grove, just turn on the faucet and wine will come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a Chardonnay shower is all it is.
It works for me.
I was lucky, a good friend of the family did a sabbatical at UC Davis, and he told me about UC Davis, and my mind...
Oh, you did go to UC Davis.
My mind lit up. I never knew you could study winemaking. I thought, Mom and Dad own a chateau, you learn how to make wine, right? What do I know? But once I knew about it, I never looked back. I applied to Davis, came here in 84.
And you fell in love with Sonoma County we all have.
Yeah. Yeah, Sonoma County, I always say, when I came to Healdsburg, I feel roots growing from the bottom of my feet.
Yeah.
But I was telling before that when I did get to Healdsburg, I think I was the only male without a belt buckle the size of a dinner plate.
That's how it used to be back in the day, yeah. And when in 86, I started working at a radio station that we now own that... the studios were in Healdsburg, and back in 86, Healdsburg was like a cow town, you know? I had come from Austin, Texas, and traveled around Texas, and I went, wow, this is like Texas. You sure this is California? It was weird, and now look at it. Oh, my God.
True. I could not find an espresso in that town. I thought they were barbarians.
Yeah.
In my book, they were barbarians.
Talk about the Longboard Vineyards beginning. You started that, I guess, in 98?
I started in 98. I got lucky right after school. I got hired. I had both Champagne experience. I worked for Chandon, and I had Bordeaux experience because I worked for Chateau Lafite. In 1987, I was actually the first American intern to interning at Chateau Lafite in Bordeaux.
Wow.
So I got hired by the Jordan family at Jordan Vineyards as an intern, stayed with them as what was the Sparkling Wine Project, became the J Wine Company. I was the winemaker for J Wine Company for 18 years.
Oh my God, I'd forgotten about that.
And one day decided to basically exchange a raise for production space. So I started longboard as a hobby, mainly truly so I can detax my surf trips. Get a tax deduction for my surf trip. So got a distributor in Hawaii, and every time I went, hey, my distributor wanted to go surfing today. What can I say?
What can I say? I got to write it off.
But otherwise, I probably would have not called it longboard. But in 2005, I decided to take a chance and go work for myself. I'm lucky enough to have almost 7 acres on West Side Road, so I can grow some of my own fruit. And now I'm my own boss, which is a whole different thing. Since 2005, I've been doing it solo in a building that has a great history. It used to be Claude Dubois Winery. But before that, it was a cannery in the 1800s.
Really?
So we actually have a wine right now that we're selling that $8 from each bottle goes to the Hillsburg Museum that depicts one of the original labels of the cannery that used to be there.
Tom, that's a
new one on me. I didn't know. I knew it was Clos du Bois, and then after Selby was there for a while, long after Clos du Bois.
Correct.
But Clos du Bois really established itself at that spot. And back in the day, when you're talking about you were first getting there, Friday afternoon at Clos du Bois' tasting room in Healdsburg was jumping. That's where you all went before you went wherever else you went that night.
And I love Clos du Bois. I love their billboards on 101. Clos the cow, is it? Right. I'm sorry. I'm being told that's not correct. I'm sorry.
That was a Frank Woods enterprise. He started in 74.
Correct. And Tom Hobart was there many years.
Tom Hobart. And then he made three different Cabernets in 74, and I've got one bottle of each.
Still. Do you really? Still?
Still.
Right. Wow. Yeah. You know, when I got in the business, my favorite wine was their 78 second release Cabernet Sauvignon from Alexander River Oaks Ranches.
Yeah.
And I still remember that wine. I may have one left. I'd love to dig through your cellar there.
I may have a bottle of Marlstone. One of the first Marlstone.
The Marlstone.
Somewhere.
The first Marlstone, I think, was 77, as I recall.
And what is that exactly? Explain that. I'm throwing a geek alert out here.
Marlstone was their Cabernet Sauvignon blend. And
correct.
It was essentially an Alexander Valley wine. It was the person who really discovered Alexander Valley Cabernet was Justin Meyer back in 72 when he made the very first Silver Oak Cabernet. Prior to that, it was actually being used without the label identifying that region by the Christian Brothers. The Christian Brothers.
They were in St. Helena, right?
They were in St. Helena's, but they were buying a lot of Cabernet Sauvignon from Alexander Valley.
Wow.
And that was Justin Meyer's doing because he was Brother Justin in those days.
Yeah, that's right.
Tom, your thoughts on longboard and how they've done over the years.
Well, yeah, there's, the wonderful thing is you kind of highlight a lot of cool region reds.
Yes.
At Longboard. So the one thing that I kind of caught my eye was you had some Cabernet from Rocchioli, is
correct.
That correct?
Rocchioli Vineyard Cab.
And I wasn't even aware that you were, when did you start making sparkling wine at Longboard? That's
only we released the first one in 2012.
Yeah, so it's relatively recent.
Yes.
So you have Pinot Noir, and you had Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Syrah. Didn't you have a cool region Syrah as well?
Well, I'm crazy enough to have five Syrahs.
Five Syrahs.
And cool climate.
And cool climate. I know. That's the one thing about, here we are, big reds from Alexander Valley, and we're talking about big reds and warm regions, and, terroir is kind of all the craze these days. But, climate and terroir and wind and soil types and all that stuff. And whenever I think of Longboard, and when I was always tasting, your Merlot, fabulous, cool region Merlot.
Yeah. If you're a foodie, that's what you usually like.
Yeah.
I'm a foodie, definitely.
Yeah. So we're actually going to get
absolutely
to the Merlot a little bit later.
Absolutely.
We've got the Chardonnay.
Talk about this Chardonnay. Steve Chardonnay Jackson says thumbs up, two thumbs up for this one. And I have, what year is this?
15.
15.
And
yeah.
It has a name you might have heard of. Rocchioli Vineyards is where the grapes
correct
came from. So
that's why I say it's the easiest wine for me to make, because it's grown by a family that's, you know, of course they're a legend, but there's a reason why they're a legend. They are serious about the grapes. They're
completely iconic.
So
in
lucky
our area.
That I'm neighbor with them, and our kids grew up playing baseball together and doing taekwondo, so I could actually get my couple little tons.
I know. I was going to say, where, how did you?
I also scored this because this is a clone, a specific clone. This is all clone 76 from a block they call the mid 40s. Clone 76 is my favorite personal Chardonnay clone in California, again, because it does well in cool region. Most California winemakers that make Chardonnays that are a little bigger, more expressive, they like the clone 4, more fruity, also bigger fruit. This one's got a little better acidity. But this wine, I basically get impeccable grapes. I usually pick them at 3, 4 in the morning. By 6:30, they're already pressed in the barrel in my cellar, and I just don't touch it. All I do is smell it to make sure the fermentation. I don't inoculate. I don't add acid. I don't take acid. I don't add bacteria. I just let it
I
go.
Do. Well, I did in high school anyway.
So, I mean, this is delicious, round and rich. It's got a kind of a little bit of banana there kind of thing. What's going on?
There's some. That's Clone 76 definitely has. Once fermentation finishes, I do something that the French call batonnage. It sounds great. It's basically mixing. So you mix the lees to resuspend them. Lees actually act as a great antioxidant. They gobble stuff up. They clean stuff up. They give it a little bit of a creaminess.
Yeah.
And then
the barrel regime on this, how much?
This is about 45% new oak. It's all French oak. About
45%. Wow.
New. Yeah, but the batonnage kind of mellows
that. Yeah, because you can't. I wouldn't have guessed that much new. Really beautiful wine. Very balanced.
You know, Tom.
Thank you.
That's amazing because I tasted this and I thought there's something I can't identify on my palate here. Mm-hmm. Banana,
yeah.
You said banana, and all of a sudden I'm tasting banana.
Yeah, it's in there. It's in the mouth, too. A lot of times you get those tropical things in the nose. This is more in the mouth. And that finish is on and on. I can still taste this wine, and I haven't had a sip in 15 seconds, I guess.
Well,
but the finish
come on,
is terrific.
Catch up.
Yeah, really.
Well, Dan, your thoughts on this one.
Well, it's got some richness. The most remarkable thing about this wine is that when you smell it, you think it's not going to have the acidity, and then you taste it, and it's got the richness, and then in the aftertaste, all that acid comes back and balances off everything. So it's a really interesting experience because the nose doesn't always give you what you really expect. And
then
in the aftertaste, you're getting that wonderful Christmas.
And it's, again, mouth-watering and on. So what's the price of this, and how much did you make?
This one I make about 140 cases a year of this one.
That's it?
It's not in distribution. It's mainly just at the winery or on the web in the States that we can ship to. And this one sells for $48, so it's not bad.
Nice. Rocchioli for $48 that you can buy.
Yeah.
Because you can't get a lot of Rocchioli.
Wow.
So, Jackson, you might want to take that baby home.
Oh, I'm taking that baby home. Oded Shaked, rocker, surfer, longboardvineyards.com is the website. And he's one of our favorite wine guys. It's been too long since he's been in. So, Tom, thanks for bringing Oded back
in.
And it is California wine country. Tom Simoneau is back with us. He's with us once a month, and he's brought an old friend, Oded Shaked, from Longboard Vineyards. Dan Berger's here, of course. Oded, talk about this talk story thing. Something to do with Hawaii? Or explain that.
Well, you can't be a surfer for good amount of time and not go to our Mecca, right? Hawaii.
Hawaii, yeah.
Please go surf there, see... if you got the cojones to get into some of the breaks in there. And
I do not, sir.
I second that.
I am definitely more careful these days. I almost drowned there twice.
Wow.
There is something. Well, I was fortunate all my life to travel all over the planet, and I like to pick things from different cultures. I speak quite a few languages, and in Hawaii they have something they call talk story, which is basically, sitting and talking, bullshitting if you want, but it's more than that.
And tell.
Oh, that's right, they're on radio, I forget.
Telling stories.
Yeah. But it's more than that, because especially in Hawaiian tradition where There was no written language. That's how you also pass traditions from one generation to another. And being a good Jew, I can relate to that. Actually, I'm a very bad Jew, but that's another story.
But I will have to tell you this. There's nothing, until you've seen Dan Berger surfing, I mean, really, Dan is something on it. On the big board. He likes the big board. He's an old school guy.
The old school. The tough thing is holding on to that wine glass.
Without spilling. Yeah, exactly.
That's
why I stopped.
Camelbacks for
I stopped working out on the treadmill. I kept spilling the wine. It was upsetting. I mean, you've surfed four continents and somehow wound up in Sonoma County. I have to ask, are you surfing in California these days, or are you, like, retired, or?
I got to admit that I'm not surfing as much as I used to. The main thing around here is the temperature of the water. It's nasty.
It's damn cold.
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold. Even with a wetsuit, we say that you come out of the water, you have no idea if you're a boy or a girl.
Shrinkage,
yeah. But the great Seinfeld episode with Costanza, yeah.
You know, I will say this. Go to longboardvineyards.com because you will have fun at this website. There's so much stuff there talking about the different things that you've done, and your website is just beautiful. And
thanks.
It really is a great site.
Yeah. So, yeah. And obviously you should go up to the tasting room in Healdsburg, but before you do that, pop on there. Longboardvineyards.com. It's just an
interesting. We try. We're walking a fine line because we're kind of serious about our wines. With the provenance like Rocchioli and you know Rogers Creek Syrah. I mean, I pay a lot of money for grapes. I take winemaking very seriously, but we really believe that wine is enjoyed better with good food, a good company, and relaxed atmosphere. We don't need to, you know, to be really. Snooty or uptight about it. It's just wine.
It is just wine. Shall we talk about the Merlot a little bit?
Merlot is great. I love it.
Thank you. It's, again, one of those things that I kind of stumbled into. I've always liked Merlot, again, having worked for Chateau Lafite and kind of got to know that variety. The property around my house was planted by Richard Arrowood, and then it went for sale in 2005. And I didn't want another winery to put something in front of me, so I stuck my foot in the door and managed to buy it.
You bought it from Dick?
From Mondavi. It was actually Mondavi.
Oh, Mondavi.
Owned Arrowwood at the time.
Got it.
And I didn't even initially know what grapes were there. And then I realized Pete Opatz, a great vineyard guy, long-time Sonoma County guy, planted that vineyard for Dick Arrowwood. It was Merlot. And he brought the budwood from a very famous Merlot vineyard. It's called Three Palms in Napa.
Three Palms and Duckhorn, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I went, and right when Sideways came out, I started producing Merlot.
Timing is everything.
Timing is everything. But the kind Merlot, we call it the kind is, again, a word we took from the Hawaiian, pidgin Hawaiian language. It's like a whatchamacallit. It could be anything. But people usually say, you know, hey, I went to a party last night. It was the kind, you know.
Like the best.
The best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is one of the best.
Yeah.
Beautiful. 2015 Decine Vineyard Merlot.
Traces
Dan?
Of leaves and olives. Got a little bit of that red fruit and a little trace of blueberry. It's really got some beautiful balance. And the problem for me is that it's too young because, and I'm a big guy on aging, as mm-hmm. you know, Steve. So, and I think this is going to be absolutely best in 3 years. It's
you know,
fabulous.
I can't believe you're just saying that because I just took another sip, and this has been open now 15 minutes. And just in 15 minutes, it's starting to open up. And I was just thinking to myself, boy, if you decanted this now, it would be even better. But if you gave it a couple, 3-4 years, it's
okay.
A 15. It's an 80.
I was toying with the idea of bringing in an 06 Merlot because that's what I like to drink.
Next time.
Okay.
And that's a great vintage, too.
It's a great vintage, too. But that's I definitely am more of a person like Dan that likes to age wines, red wines.
Yeah.
But sadly, there's no market. I mean, my wine club members sometimes, I do seminars with library selections, and they get to buy some older wines all the way back to 98. But most people prefer the fresh wines with more of the fruit character.
Well, everybody's drinking them young. Everybody's drinking them young, so that's what they're used to.
Right, exactly.
So this wine lists for how much?
This one's $30,
$32. $30 bucks. Yeah. Wow.
Oded, talk about the winery and the tasting room. You're on Fitch Street in Healdsburg. Is that the tasting room?
That is the winery and the tasting room.
Oh, okay.
And
explain to people how where that is, you know,
that is,
when they go up to Healdsburg.
We call that the wine side of the tracks because it's on the way. It's right next to the, where the train station is going to be in Healdsburg.
Oh, that's going to be good for you.
Exactly. It's south. It's about two blocks south east of the plaza. So it's in between the plaza and the bridge where, you know, if you know Healdsburg, there's Roma Station. There's a few great wineries out there by the bridge over the river. and we are right in between there, right next to where the train station is. Used to be the old Magnolia Cannery, and then Clos du Bois, and then a couple other wineries. And we've been there since 05. We're open every day from 11 till 6. And what you mentioned before, we try to encourage a lot of locals come in at 5:36, and
there
we often
go.
Stay late.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And we stay open in the tasting room and just have glasses of wine.
And if you're ever depressed, go over to the tasting room, have a glass of wine. Hopefully Oded will be there, and he'll bring a smile to your face. This man is the happiest
he always
man
does
I've
for
ever
us
met in my life, man. Terrific guy.
Their slogan is wines, waves, and soul. You got to love that.
Thank you.
Mr. Surfer.
We are going to move to Pinot Noir, and again, going to a really great provenance. So this is what we call the Mistos Pinot Noir. Mistos is almost every surf culture has a Mistos surf spot where you just don't want to or can't reveal where that spot is because you don't want everybody to come and start surfing it. And this is how this started. This now I can actually say that the grapes are from the Rocchioli family, but it's not part of the estate, and they did not want to use that on the label, so we call it Mistos. There's about, it's out on Sweetwater Springs, that property. There's a couple wineries that use that fruit, William & Salem, Gary Farrell, Holdridge.
So it's just around the corner from Rocchioli, just before you get there.
Exactly. It's right next to Tom's house, actually.
Yeah, when you get up on the hill there.
So this is 100% one clone. It's the Pomar clone. And as far as I remember from Tom, this is the preheated Pomar clone. So when we get a clone of, and I know it might be a little geeky, but for you, different varieties exist in grapes, just like in apples, but within the same variety, we have different clones that have different characteristics. You know, almost as if you have a difference between a Granny Smith apple and a Jonathan apple or right. Fuji apple. So this particular clone is called the Pomar clone. I really like that clone. It's on the Hillside Vineyard. But this one is actually got a little bit of a virus. It wasn't totally cleaned out by the nurseries.
So wasn't heat treated?
Exactly.
Is that what you were saying?
So it's the pre-heat treated, which I think gives it a little bit of a interest and funk, and which is also kind of part of my philosophy.
But that funk is going to do you well with this wine in about three more years. This wine is such a baby, it's ridiculous.
Just released.
This is a 16.
Oh, it's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, this should be 3 years more, and it's going to be really
But I
beautiful.
Never would have guessed 16. I thought 15 probably. And when I saw 16, whoa.
Well, the fruit component is dramatic, but you can't really tell what it is at this point because it's just still, it's like came straight out of a barrel.
Almost exactly. And since it's unfined and unfiltered, that's exactly what it is.
Juicy.
So this was bottled right September, and it's just now being released. But like I said, it's too young. I agree.
The secret to the wine is the acid.
Yes.
It's fabulous.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
Bring the funk, Oded.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
Dude, isn't he?
Yeah.
This is the good funk. This is the really good funk.
Boy, this Pinot is something.
I agree.
What's the list price on that?
This one is 60.
60, and you make how much?
That one I made about 90 cases.
Jeez.
Depends on the year.
You know, here's the thing. We've got Oded here, right? And, you know, there are people that get in waiting lists to get wines like these wines that we're tasting today that you can go and buy. And they're as good or better than a lot of those wines because perception is reality.
Sure.
If it takes me 2 years to get on the list, the wine must be good.
Right.
And a lot of times they are. But there's a lot of good wine that you can buy.
Yeah.
And right here, telling you, Dead Man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
Longboardvineyards.com. Check them out. Join the wine club, and better yet, check them out in Healdsburg. What did you say, Oded? A couple blocks off the plaza.
Correct, 5 Fitch Street. And usually, if you just follow us on social media, we try to have fun events. I mean, and we participate in the regional events. And if you just want to come and get to see who we are, maybe we're your, not cup of tea, but glass of wine. Maybe we're not, you know, but at least you'll meet good people who love what they do. And usually it shows. Oh, you know, I got great employees, it's really fun. It almost doesn't feel like work.
Well, of course.
If you know Healdsburg, right, you know where the Oakville Grocery is on Matheson there. Yeah. If you just go another 2 blocks to the turn right, and it's down there about, you know, 1 stop sign down. And it's just 2 blocks up from the square. Take a right, and there's Oded. And you've got that Woody.
Correct.
Parked right out front. Oh, my God.
I hope you're talking about my car.
Yes.
Tom, you said you got that Woody, and I looked, and Mike had this look on his face like, oh, geez, do I need to hit the button?
No. He's got a beautiful old Woody.
It's a car. Yes. Well, you should see my beautiful old Woody.
It's a Ford Woody wagon, and what we call it. Officially, it's a Country Squire.
Country Squire. Right. It's a gorgeous little room.
Thank you. It is.
Oh, my God.
And I haven't been there because I never leave my house except to come here, and I live a mile and a half away. But I'm assuming you have some classic and cool surfboards hanging all over the place.
Yes, and I still like to restore surfboards. I love working with my hands. And
yeah, that's cool, man.
And you could still, in California, sometimes go to a garage sale or a swap meet and find something that, you know, looks really bad, and then you polish
it
and dust it, and before you know it, you have something that collectors will drool over.
Yeah, right.
And I've had, actually, I just got to, for example, you know, what would like to say, score a surfboard from 1968 from a wine club member from Texas who bought the board in 1968, surfed it maybe a couple of times, left it in the rafters since then, and I...
That's amazing. Now, do you have a studio at your home? Or
I have a barn. I have a dirty barn for fixing surfboards and a clean barn to polish my Woody. Oh, that sounds horrible.
Uh-huh. Be careful.
All right.
Button time.
Just keep hitting the button.
We were talking about Dan surfing. Is that
Oh, I came up with another Clos de Bois joke. I shouldn't even bother, but...
Why not?
Earlier I said something about Clos and Clos the cow. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking that de bois means the cow in French. So Clos de Bois is Clos the cow.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Clos de Bois, Mike, is like enclosed in wood. Isn't
Mike,
that what
yeah,
that means?
Dubois, hit the button,
the
will you?
Yeah, of the woods.
And you can check out every episode of California Wine Country by going to anywhere where great podcasts are offered, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and our own website, calwinecountry.com, calwinecountry.com. Hey, and Chris, I'm talking to Christopher DiMatteo down in L.A., who's our manager of linguistics. No, of different. He speaks a bunch of languages, is what I'm trying to say.
Manager podcast.
He's the manager of the podcast and our website, VicarioProductions.com. And by the way, Chris, text me every week on Wednesday before California Wine Country to remind me to pimp the podcast because I keep forgetting. He says Clos, C-L-O-S, is Old French for a field, as in closed off, and bois, Clos de Bois, bois means wood. So
enclosed in wood.
It means the field in the woods.
He wasn't listening when we talked about it earlier. Hello, Chris.
Oh, no. I wasn't either. I totally
How do you
listen.
Know when the host isn't listening? That'll be a new segment.
Steve's in the Bahamas again, but he's back
to
now.
To a Bob and Ray routine.
Yeah,
slow
really.
Slow talkers of America.
Yeah, I love Bob and Ray, man. Dan Berger here and Tom Cimino, his monthly presentation. This week it's Oded Shaked from Longboard Vineyards. Longboardvineyards.com. Wrap it up.
Okay, tell me about this Savage Coast, and where did that label come from?
Well, the label, actually, I make all the labels. Like, you know, I can see the frustrated architect in me. This is actually a Photoshop worked out from a picture of waves on Misto. So this is actually a little lip of a wave falling off. But you can't see it because it really looks more like a steel engraving.
Looks like a snake.
I think we're back to the acid that Jackson was talking about a little earlier.
Well, it's hard to describe it on the radio, but it's kind of a black, almost like steel engraving.
You'd have to go to the winery to
or to the website and see.
And the varietal is Syrah.
The varietal is Syrah. This is a Syrah blend. So, and like many good things in life, this was born from a mistake. So, in the 2013...
My mother always said I was, too.
Yeah. 2013, two of my best lots, the one from my vineyard, from the Kind Vineyard, and the one from Goucher's Vineyard, one of the lots from there, came to the winery at the same time. Instead of going to separate tanks, somebody put them in the same tank. And that was the first time in many years that anybody's ever seen me angry, because I don't get angry. I mean,
people, I've never seen you angry.
They were no, I don't get angry.
No,
I mean, it's like, well, nothing really seems important.
Well, look, Dad, it's just
but I was pissed. I was pissed. Yeah, and my employees remind me that's the only time they saw me. Oh my God, what's going to happen? He's not happy. And,
all right, listen, we're out of time. I'm sorry, Odette. You got to come back. I mean, it's been too long since we've had you in, Tom. Thanks for bringing Odette.
You bet.
Chuckhead from longboardvineyards.com, Dan Berger. Dan, we'll see you next Wednesday, and it's just a wonderful episode. Check it out at calwinecountry.com or anywhere great podcasts are offered.